all of RC would join Brother Will in the cafe. Amen. I got to get these out. It's a humbling experience. All right. I'm so glad you're here. I know Pastor Sam wants to greet you. He's having an awesome time, and he wants to bless you, and he's thankful for you, and I'm thankful for you. So tonight, if you want to turn in your Bibles, this is Bible study, so we get to have Bible study night. We're going to be in Luke 10, and kind of give you a background of this message. So God's kind of put it on my heart to preach a series of messages called Truth on the Battlefield. And so that's what I've been doing. And what the enemy would want to do is to blur your focus, just like I'm wearing these glasses that has a big fingerprint on them. He wants to blur your focus. See, the enemy in the world knows that it can't stop the church. It's tried for thousands of years and hasn't been able to. So what it's trying to do is it's trying to redefine your beliefs. It's trying to cloud your understanding so that you believe a portion of truth, but you don't believe the whole truth. And so God put it on my heart to confront this issue. And someone came to me and prayed over me and said, build the walls back. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build the walls back. I'm going to try to teach in perfect clarity that you understand the authority of the believer. The authority that you have, that you possess in your heart. You see, what happens is, you know, a lot of times we get on the focus of we just need to stay saved. We're just gonna stay saved. If I can just stay saved, if I can just focus on I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do what's right, and I'm gonna have setbacks, but I'm gonna get back up. But then what happens is we step back and take a step forward, and we take a step back, and we take a step forward, and we never move past the beginning step. Salvation is the beginning process. Although it is our heart and it is our goal, what it is salvation is activation in your life to go out and be a follower of Christ. So it's not just a place where you try to just hold on to your salvation, hold on to what you've committed yourself to, but it's saying, I'm a child of God. I'm going to live every day in a sacrifice unto Him. I'm not going to just make a one-time prayer and then try to focus all my attention on this. I'm going to walk out my sanctification daily, constantly laying down more portions that I can give God that doesn't need to be with me. But I'm going to keep the focus on fulfilling what the work is that He has for my life. I'm going to continue to move in a direction that He has. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That means He's going before you. He has each and every one of your paths laid out. And that's why I want to break the thought of if I can just stay saved. You need to focus on I am saved. I am saved. And so I'm going to live every life like God has ordained for my life. And I'm going to be a soldier for Him. I'm going to be an ambassador for Him because that's what He's called me, an ambassador of the kingdom. And so what the world's done is it's kind of mixed in some teachings. It's kind of diluted it just enough where we believe the truth, but we also have man's opinion forming our belief. And so that's a deadly area. That's false. We have to have the truth of the scriptures, the truth of God's word that we base our foundation on. And with that, we can go and be more than conquerors. But what the world has done is kind of diluted it where we don't really know. And I'm gonna be honest. Some of the things I'm gonna touch on tonight, I've fell victim to. I've fell victim to some of the traps. But I've had godly men who are theologians. They've given their whole lives to the pursuit of education. And whenever I've asked questions, they've said, okay, show me that. And I haven't been able to show them because it's not in the Bible. And so I've had to form, just like Pastor said, what should we do? God, heal my mind. God, direct my decisions. And that's the burden of this church. God, let us walk on the scriptural foundations that we can be a firm foundation for you. And so I've had this misconception that if I fast, I'm going to have a spiritual battle. If I fast and pray, I'm going to have a spiritual battle. The only thing I'm going to be battling is my flesh. I've had the misconception that if I pray for someone who's sick or someone who's in bondage, that that's going to come on me. Show me that one place in the New Testament. Because that's what the professors said to me. Show me one place. It's not in there. But on the contrary, there's something else that's in there that I'm going to show you tonight through the scriptures. You see, we have this misconception that we're kind of timid. We don't really know who we are. See, this is like if someone is in prison. And say, for instance, this is the enemy, this is the devil. He's in prison. And we're the guard. What the enemy has done to the church is it's talked us into the jail cell and him outside. Because if it's able to strew your conception of belief, he then has authority over the Bible. If he's able to talk you into bondage, then now you are the one who's less than. But the Bible says you are more than. And the Bible also says that you have authority. And see, authority isn't yelling. You know, that's the first thing we all think of. Man, if someone's out there yelling, and man, they're just letting it have it. That's not authority. That's the flesh. They're acting in the flesh. What authority is it's someone who knows so. And it's someone who has the power. And oftentimes you can look at those people and they're the quietest. I can think of the Judy Carragers and my grandma and all the ladies who are the prayer warriors of this house. They don't have to yell. They don't have to shout. But their words are powerful because they have authority. They have authority. They know. And so whenever they speak, whenever they pray, they carry that with them. You know, whenever you get pulled over by, say, a state trooper, and he says, license and registration. You know, if he would walk up to the car and say, if you feel like it, could you give me your license and registration? what's the authority in you? You would go, oh, no, I'm not. But see, when he walks up to the car and he says license and registration, you know and he knows that he has the authority of the state behind him. And if you refuse the request he has, he can hold you there. He can give you a ticket. He can give you resisting arrest. And the courts are going to stand behind him because he has the authority through the state. I want to tell you tonight that you have authority in the kingdom. And so whenever you pray, you don't have to pray timid. Whenever you pray, you don't have to say, if you feel like it. You say, God, I know. I know that I have the authority of the kingdom behind me. I know my spiritual authority, and I'm going to stand on it. I know that when I pray, things happen because I have resurrection power coming through my prayer. Because it's not me. I'm the first one to say that, you know what boldness is without humility? A bully. Boldness without humility is a bully. But if you have boldness and you have humility, you have something, you have authority. You don't have to put on a display. You don't have to walk into a room and start pushing people out of the way. All you got to do is walk in the room. And the Holy Spirit working in you, people will feel it. They know that God is on this person. They'll be like, man, God is moving in their life. Man, God is mighty through them. Man, I can see that they are mighty to tear down strongholds. Why? Because they didn't have to say a word. They didn't have to do a thing. But they walked in their God-given authority. It's called kingdom authority. I want to go to a passage of Scripture, Luke 10, because I believe in application reading. Amen? Application reading. And we're going to read verses 1 through 24. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face in every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers unto his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, say first, peace be to this house, shalom. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest in it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things that they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the day of Sodom than for this city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For the mighty works which were done in you and have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, you are exalted to heaven, and you will be brought down to Hades. He who hears me and he who rejects me, he who hears and rejects me also rejects him who sent me. Then the 70 returned with a joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. Then he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And in the hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son except for the Father, and the Father except for the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and hear what you hear and have not heard it. That is a mighty portion of Scripture that establishes authority in your life. And I'm going to go back and hammer this down and later in the sermon, but I want to take a time just to break down this portion of application in your life. Amen? It says that he sent 70 out. Now, I love numbers and things like that, and 70, you know, it's awesome how God reveals, you know, like the 12 disciples is the 12 tribes of Israel. And the 70 that he has sent out, it represents the 70 nations that were established after Noah. And the 70 that came and helped Moses whenever he was establishing the workers. And so God sent out the 70 babies, young believers, the little ones. But he sent them out in power. Before that, in chapter 9, he sends out the disciples. And it says that they are sheep. In this passage, he sends out the 70 and he calls them lambs. So they're just young ones. But they moved in power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, even whenever God didn't tell them to go cast out demons. But they understood one thing, that they were sent and that they wasn't working in their ability. It's not you. It's not you. I'm a servant. I'm nothing more. But I'm also nothing less. Amen? You are a servant. You're nothing more. But you're also nothing less. It's His Spirit that works through you that gives you power. It's His Spirit that works through you that gives you authority. And it's by His name. It says that by His name, even the spirits became subject to them. It's by the name of Jesus. You obtain authority through salvation. You know, a lot of times we think, man, the workers of salvation, you know, the pastors, the prophets, the bishops, those are mighty in the kingdom. They're mighty workers for the Lord's will. But I want to tell you, you have the same authority to come against the things that's coming against you. Because God gave His Spirit to you to work through you. It's not you. It's not whatever you say. If you are under the will of God, it's Him working through you. The first thing you need to understand is these were sent on a mission. Each and every one of us are sent on a mission. The moment we accept Jesus Christ, we now have a mission. We have an assignment. These 70 were operating in their assignment. I don't stand in arrogance. I don't stand trying to puff up anything, but I know one thing, that God sent me. And if He sent me, anything that I encounter, He's faithful because He's going to work through me to overcome it. You know, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Whenever they went out before Him, whenever they would come into a city and they would start stepping in their authority, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning out of the heavens. That's powerful. You know what that means? It means the authority of the kingdom went into that territory and overcome the enemy. I want to tell you that you can go into territories and overcome the enemy. This isn't a false sense of hope. This isn't trying to puff you up so you can go out and get hurt. But this is so you can understand who is in you. And this is so you can understand the authority that you work under. It's not about you. It's about He that is in you that overcomes the world. And so, I know that I have a mission. I have an assignment. I know that I have to be faithful to it. But I also know this, that God sent me out like lambs among wolves. We also have the misconception that the wolves stand for the enemy. That's not right. In this context of Scripture, the wolves stand for other people. They stand for the people that was coming against Jesus. Oftentimes, it's going to be people you encounter. It's going to be family that doesn't understand. But the thing is, we don't try to be anything we're not. God calls us to be lambs, but He also calls us to be lions. That means we're in our flesh, in our bodies, before people, we're lambs, we're humble. God says that there's going to be persecution. Jesus said persecution will come. May it count unto you that you are worthy of it. That's what my Bible says. Persecution is going to come from people. We're to be lambs. But in the spirit, we're to be lions. In the spirit, we're to come against that. Whatever it is. If there's something that tries to attack you, it's by the name of Jesus that you overcome that. It's by the name of Jesus and His Spirit. He has authority. You need to understand that you carry a shield and a sword, not a pillow and a pillowcase. Paul is very clear how he establishes the armor. We're not to be timid. We're not to go in it like, maybe I might win, maybe I might not. We're to go in with authority. If something comes against you, you bind that in the name of Jesus. The reason that we face some of the hardships we face is because we don't understand who we are. Because we have a conception of what truth is, but it's been watered down to the point where we don't have a clear understanding of authority and who authority is in our life. Whenever you come against something, you've already defeated it. That's the authority you have in you. When you come against something, it is defeated already. It doesn't have any teeth. All it has is deception. It's like if you're a guard and it's in the jail. It might be able to talk you into it, but if you know who you are, nope, ain't going to happen today, Satan. But the thing that we come in the turmoil of understanding is knowing who you are, and second, being who you are. You can't have a form of godliness on Sunday and have something different Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You can't. You're a goat, not a lamb. Just be honest with you. See, you can't live like hell and have the power of heaven. You can't. You're either a follower and a doer or an imposter. This is the cold, hard truth. You see, if an ambassador goes into a kingdom and doesn't bring the kingdom with him, he's not going to be an ambassador. If I'm supposed to go into a territory, I'm supposed to bring everything the kingdom represents with me into that territory. I'm supposed to establish it in that territory. I'm not supposed to establish my form of godliness. I'm supposed to establish godliness. And so a lot of Americans get tripped up, and this is the big misconception with authority, is because they're living two lives, one on Sunday and one every other day of the week. You can't do that. You have to know who you are. You have to know the authority that's in you by the name of Jesus, and you have to live that. I want to tell you that nobody's perfect. There was only one perfect human, and he died for me. Amen? And so don't try to hold yourself in this place of inner turmoil, just trying to be saved. If you slip up, say, God, forgive me. I'm going to live like I'm not going to do that again. You see, it's the thought that goes before you. If you think it, you've already chose what you want. You can't choose two masters. The Bible's very clear on that. But if you say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. God, I want to live every day of my life after you. I'm going to try with all that is within me to live unto you with godliness. Whenever I mess up, I go to God and I say, God, forgive me. God, I messed up. But I don't stay in that spot. I get right back up and I go right back over here to the mission. And I say, devil, you got no authority. I'm a child of God. You see, authority in your life is what will propel you, or if you don't have authority, it's what will stop you. You see, if someone has authority, they're able to cut right through the red tape. At all the big events, they're able to go right up to the front. Why? Because they have authority. But the ones that don't have authority get to stand on the outside, caught up in the mess. If you have authority, it's like a beacon of light. You know where you're supposed to go. You know the mission that he's called you to. Just like these 70, they were to go before him, proclaiming the good news, healing the sick. They were the plows plowing the ground, planting the seed. And then Jesus was coming through with the harvest. I also love how Jesus responds whenever they came back and they practiced the authority. Just little ones, just babes, how they practice authority. And Jesus was full of joy. It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. How much joy does it give the Father to see you walking in your God-given authority? How much joy does it give God to see his children establishing the kingdom of God, being workers for him? How much joy does that give him? We see just a glimpse of it here. He rejoiced. Don't give credit to a spiritual attack when it's not. A lot of times we're under spiritual attack. But if you don't pay your taxes, that's just called a little bit of course correction. If you lie about someone, and now you have conflict and turmoil, that's a little bit of a conflict and turmoil. That's something you did. That's something you did. Traditional thinking has empowered the enemy, where we think there's repercussions for spiritual warfare. This is a lie. And not one time does Jesus say there's spiritual repercussions. He does say there's physical persecution. but it's so that you can be counted worthy. The enemy is defeated and has no power against the believer. If you're under attack, check your armor, check your understanding, and know who you are. The authority of Jesus in you breaks down strongholds. The authority of Jesus inside of you breaks down strongholds. It breaks down the walls. Now I want to get to the reaffirming of all that I've said. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. What power do you have in you? Resurrection power. That's the power you have inside of you. Resurrection power. Your prayers, your words have resurrection power in them. Don't think they don't. That power that raised Christ and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and all authority and all power and dominion and every name that is invoked. He's over everything. There's no one that can overrule Jesus. There's nothing that can come against him. He's seated at the right hand of God, which signifies power. He cannot be overruled in your life. He rules your life. Over every name that's invoked, not only in the present age, but to also the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. Mark 16, 15 through 18. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. And he who believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Why, this sounds awful like what was happening in Luke 10 to me. If it happened in that age, how come we're not seeing it now? If it happened then, how come we're not seeing it now? It's supposed to be now. It's supposed to be now. In the heart of every believer, because it says in every believer. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5. I was with you in meekness and fear and much trembling in my message and my preaching, were not in persuasive words of wisdom. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. He is displaying what it's like to be a lamb. But then he also follows it up and shows you what it is to be a lion. But in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I didn't come before you with words of wisdom. I come before you with trembling and fear. What is he saying? I'm a lamb. But he also said, I'm a lion because I demonstrated the power of the one who sent me. I didn't come before you with eloquent words trying to steer your heart into believing that it's man. No, I came before you in power and his might so that you would believe that it's God. We need to understand who God is in our lives, living through us, and give him the authority. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where do we rule? Where is our authority? This passage of Scripture says he seated us in heavenly places. It means if we have the concept of our earthly ability, it will not happen. But if we have the understanding and knowledge that it's the authority of us in our heavenly places, then we operate in the authority that he's given us. So that we can walk, so that we can rule, so that we can have authority over principalities and powers, just like he says in Ephesians. These little new Christians walked and went before him, and Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. When these little babies went into this new town, and that principality and stronghold was torn down. That's incredible. But then I take a step back and I look at some of the things going on in this city. And I'm thinking, God, I know why. I don't know how. But I know that you've placed a burden on this church for such a time as this to go out in our authority. Each and every one of you has authority. Each and every one of you, if you're members of this church, if you're members of this body, if you're members of this family, each and every one of you carries the ministry of this church. You might not operate in it, but you carry the ministry of this church. That means whenever this church goes out, just like in this event where we're going to go out in this ministry, and we're going to be in the community and we're going to have an outreach, that means that each and every one of you has a portion of that. Because this is the body of believers. What I would like you to do, if you're not going to go there, is I want you to start praying now. I want you to start praying now that you see the increase. Not from man's ability, but from God's power. That you begin to pray that we're able to see strongholds come down. That you begin to pray that we see the sick rise up, the dead raised from the dead. Why? Because if it happened then, it can happen now. We are ambassadors. We're to bring the kingdom principles with kingdom authority into this city so that we can change it and turn it into God's city. It's not through our ability. It's through his. You see, the single greatest thing to understanding authority is to understand that you're under authority. So at the name of Jesus, we operate from our heavenly position, not our earthly position. But at the mention of his names, all things come under the authority of Jesus Christ. Because he's seated on the throne and at the right hand, and it's through his position of power. He rules with power and authority and cannot be overruled. Let our eyes be open, just like Paul prayed in Ephesians. Let our eyes be open. Let our hearts understand that it's through inheritance that we have power and authority. That's the first scripture I read. If there's any verse you need to memorize, it's Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. I pray that your eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. You are his holy people. That the power, the same might and strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule, power, and authority and dominion, in every name that's invoked, not only this present age, but the age to come. That's your inheritance. That's who's in you. We need to get our eyes clear, our focus, what the world's tried to say. The world's tried to weaken who you are. The world's tried to weaken your understanding to think you're less than, that you don't have authority. And I'll tell them, I'm a lamb. That's all I am. But I'm also a lion. I'm humble in my calling, but I'm powerful in the spirit. Whenever I pray, I carry the authority of the one who sent me. It's not through my authority. It's not through my ability, but it's through him who sent me. And it's through him who sent you. Each and every one of us are called. Each and every one of us have a mission. You want authority? Operate in your mission. You want authority? Be a lamb, not a goat. You want authority? Have your eyes of your heart be made clear so that you understand who you are. These are all concepts that we need to understand. This is all biblical scripture. None of this is man's wisdom. This is scripture. You can't walk in authority unless you're under authority. Remember, you're a servant of the Most High God. You're an ambassador. The scripture says that if people come against you, they're coming against him. They're not coming against you. I'm dead in my flesh already. That's what the Bible says. I'm dead in my transgressions. I'm dead in the flesh, but I'm alive in the spirit. So how I operate? Kingdom authority. I'm a servant first. To understand authority, I have to be under authority. I don't go rogue. I only do what he says to do. But what he says to do, I do. Not with timidity, not with a passive, God, I hope you're able to. God, I hope you're able to. No. When he tells me to do something, it's God, I know you're going to do it. And by your word, I proclaim your authority over this. No enemy shall come against me, shall prosper. It says that nothing shall harm me. The devil's already defeated. To have a proper understanding, you've got to understand that you live in the new covenant. It says that death, hell, and the grave has been overcome. He has no power. The only power he has is what you give him. If you give him power, that's you giving it to him. He doesn't own it. Whenever you come in this uncertain time, you say, God, I'm under your authority. Your will be done. That's what I say. Your will be done. This is coming against me. It's bigger than me. I know that whatever you have for me is going to be hard, but I know it's through your authority that it's going to happen. And so, as I'm under authority, let it be done. Your will be done. Amen? I hope I've been able to present this in a way where you understand who you are in Christ. That you understand that you're not less than, that you have authority. And it's by the name that you have authority. It says, by the name of Jesus. Whenever you come against a stronghold, you use the name of Jesus. You use it without fear of being repercussions. You use it without fear. Guess what? Fear is only faith in the enemy's camp. You have no fear. Denounce fear. Say, I will not have faith. I will not have faith in the enemy's camp. I will not have fear. I'm going to be mighty to tearing down strongholds by the name of Jesus. I'm going to come against everything that stands before me and my end goal, which is his will. And you have no fear. Amen? I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your will that confirms your word.